As an entrepreneur, selling the company you successfully built is cause for celebration. But after all the champagne bottles are drained, a new Porsche is parked in the garage, and you've taken the kids to Disney World a couple of times, you might realize there's a bit of a difference between running a company worth millions and having millions. Taking care of that wealth can be a business in and of itself, which is why some people look to family offices for help. Here to tell us more is investment advisor Emily Griffiths-Hamilton with Griffiths-Hamilton Family Office Advisors. She joins us from Vancouver. Hello there.
Hey, hi, Bruce. How are you doing?
I am great. What is a family office? How would you define that?
Yeah, I would say a family office is a term used to describe how a family organizes itself once it's amassed a certain amount of wealth. And like your intro says, it's often as a result of selling a business, or sometimes it's wealth that's accumulated from the business over the years.
And what is the level of wealth at which a family office makes sense?
That all depends on the needs and the objectives of the family. So we see them anywhere from, let's say, the $25 million range and above.
And above, okay. And what sort of, so you've got those assets. What are some of the services that would fall under a family office?
Right. Well, the services actually fall out from the result of a four-step process that I would recommend. And that would start with one, recognizing the financial freedom and first starting with just investing the assets to ensure liquidity, safety of capital, and preservation of that wealth. And then step two is financial investment management. And that's usually when you're building this office in the sort of 2 to 3 year range, you're adding diversification and growth in your investments. And then the third is reflection. So like you say, you popped the champagne, you've got the Porsche, you've taken the kids to Disneyland a couple of times. But now things are settling down and you're starting to reflect on what your values are and your family values, what your vision is for the family, and then really what the purpose of this wealth is for the future. And then finally out of that comes the structure and the services. So there's really two parts to that, and I break those down into the quantitative part and the qualitative part. And the quantitative factors include managing the financial matters like investing, tax planning, financial planning, insurance, but also, and perhaps most importantly and sometimes forgotten about, the qualitative factors. And that's managing the family matters. And those include...
You mean like whose turn it is to do the dishes and why did you borrow my car and not fill up the gas, that stuff?
It could be a little bit like that. That gets pretty specific, but I'd say the three things there would be managing their expectations, the family members' expectations. They're preparing the upcoming generation for their potential future roles and responsibility, and then reducing family conflict by solving today some of tomorrow's predictable problems.
You would see some very interesting family dynamics, I assume. What would you say is similar with high net worth families that you work with and different from families who don't have $25 million in assets?
I would say similar in all cases is breakdown in communication in the family and how they relate to the financial wealth. On the different side, I don't see a lot of difference. I think at the end of the day, people are all human. There's probably just a greater need to be even more clear about who you are and what you want to achieve and what you want this money to do for you.
It also seems to me that with a sum that is that large, you're less likely to kick the kid out of the nest than if you were a family where, as soon as they graduate from post-secondary education, they're on their own. Like because I'm busy trying to save for my retirement and pay off the debt they might have put me in to help pay for their education. Whereas if you've got significant wealth, if you're not funding them, there may be still the talk of what happens on an inheritance that has them connected to the family financially in a way that wouldn't be there if they didn't have big assets.
Right. So I think that you are absolutely right. When there is an absolute need, you have no choice but to go out and make your own way in the world. The difference, though, is that the families that have these conversations and think about this beforehand, that they don't want the child to become dependent on what I sometimes call the family bank or become entitled, then that's where the family sits and has the specific conversations about what their values are and what their priorities are. So if that a family's priority is to raise independent children that are independent, leading purposeful lives, then that's a conversation. And then how they relate to the money is explicitly laid out and agreed to often by family members. So said that generation coming up with a sense of entitlement, those families rather focus on raising those that next generation to be stewards of the wealth for not only themselves, but for future generations and for a specific purpose. So it might be for continuing education or perhaps investment funds for entrepreneurial ventures and that.
Right. How do you help them navigate how those values play out in dollars and cents? So do you help them say, you know what, 30% of the nest egg is going to philanthropy upon death of the matriarch? Or how do you help them navigate those conversations?
So those conversations start with family meetings. So I specifically have families gather, and I sit in front of up to three generations at a time and facilitate a meeting where I first get the families to focus on their values, what their priorities are, what their beliefs are. And then we move from there into defining what it is they want to achieve with this financial wealth. And in those meetings, so it's as much about the meeting and the conversation they're having as the process of going through the meeting, because many of these families have never done this before, never gathered like a group to have these kinds of conversations. So this is new to them, and they're learning this. And then once they get through the who they are and what they want to achieve, then we sit down, and again, I'm facilitating. I'm not telling them what to do, but I do encourage them that there are specific policies that they can put in place today to quite literally solve many of tomorrow's predictable problems and reduce conflict.
Interesting. I think there's a great model for regular families to listen to what you have said and apply it to them, even if they don't have anywhere near the dollars that you're talking about. Emily, thank you very much for joining us today.
Great. Thank you. I hope that was helpful.
That's great. Emily Griffiths-Hamilton is an investment advisor. Her focus is on family offices, and she joined us from Vancouver.